Good morning, Crossville Church. These are our announcements this week. There will be no choir practice or small groups tonight, so you can spend time with your family. Trail Life and American Heritage Girls will be tomorrow at 6:30. Church board meeting tomorrow as well at 6:30. Wednesday night activities, we'll do regular activities. We will honor our graduates next Sunday, and there will be baskets in the foyer if you'd like to give them a gift. And revival starts with Billy Huddleston next Sunday. And also, today is the last day for the bottles for the Plateau Pregnancy Center, and they're in the foyer. And as always, thank you for your faithfulness in giving.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all look good this morning. Wait a minute. I've got something here. Y'all remember what this is? I guess it's cordless because I don't have a cord up here. But I had to do this morning because I want to call all the moms. Are you a mom this morning? Raise your hand. Okay. Oh, I forgot the air code. Yeah, used to, we just call on this thing. This, you got to push the buttons. Okay? You ready? I'm going to call. She's not answering. Wait a minute. Okay. Hello, Mama. I just called to tell you, all those tears you shed for me, they were not in vain. Mama, something happened tonight while traveling down a country road. And I thought that you should be the first to know that I am not the same. All those dreary days, they're over now. All those sleepless nights are past. All those prayers you prayed for me, they're answered now at last. For I'm not the boy I used to be. Mama, you can sleep tonight, for I found Jesus. Now everything's all right.
Amen.
Mama, I remember how every night before you'd go to sleep, you would ask the Lord my soul to keep, that I might find the way. I'm so thankful that through my loneliness and all those wasted years, Mama, those prayers kept ringing in my ears every night and day. Mama, I realize indeed this day how you love us all. For Lord, I pray that if I think about the prayers of Mama, that all those weary days, they're over now, and all those sleepless nights are past, and all those prayers you prayed for me are answered now at last. For I'm not the boy I used to be, Mama. You can sleep at night. For I found Jesus. Now everything's all right. Everything's all right.
Amen.
Bye, Mama. I love you. We're so glad that you're here this morning. We're glad to have all of our mothers with us today. The last song that we're going to sing this morning in worship, it's one of my mom's favorites. And so I'm doing that for her and for you. How about that? Let's stand together as you're able and worship the Lord together.
Mother's Day. There's not often in Scripture where God identifies as a mother, but there is one key passage where Jesus does so. He's coming into Jerusalem, and he sees this city that's broken and alone, and he desperately wants to save it, and he starts to cry. And he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh, like a mother hen, how I wish to gather my chicks." And it's his desperate cry that these people would come to him and hear him and see him and know him. And so I can't pray a prayer on behalf of a mother, but I can pray one on behalf of a child. So I'm going to do this. And for the mothers in the room, I hope it's a blessing to you that these are this is a prayer from a child to a loving parent. And yeah, I hope it blesses you in some way on Mother's Day. Lord, I come to you after lots of mistakes. I come to you having neglected you for a very long time, for having not loved you in any way close to the way that you've loved me. But you've been steadfast, you've been so faithful, so patient, so gloriously merciful to me, and I thank you for it. And that feels like just a word right now, thank you, but it's all that I have to offer. Because you don't want my sacrifices, you don't want my offerings, all you want is my gratitude. And it's in that that I get the life that you offered to me. And so I thank you for this life that you've given me, this life typified by self-sacrificial love, this life that is just giving life itself. Your deep desire is for me to be a child at your feet, to feel loved, to feel encouraged, to feel seen and heard. And so I thank you for all the ways that you've encouraged me and seen me and heard me, all the ways that you've fed me, all the ways that you've cared, and all the ways that you've done all of those things so steadfastly in my life, especially when I didn't appreciate it. And so I'm standing here saying that I do appreciate it. I do thank you so much for who you are, for who you've been, and for who you've promised you will always be in my life. Thank you, Lord, for showing up so continuously, for loving me way more than I deserve. It's in you that I have life, and so it's to you that I pray. It's in your name, Jesus, that we live. Amen.
I want to speak to you this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 5 in just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. And going down through verse 5. We honor our mothers today. And I think it's good for us to think about how much our mothers do. I do know from watching my grandmother, my mother, and my wife that being a mother is not a walk in the park. One researcher has said by the time that a child reaches 18... a mother has had to handle some extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work. That's for the normal child. I was not the normal child. A junior high science teacher was lecturing the class on the properties of magnets, and he had been going through all this the whole day, and so at the end of the class, he decided that he would give his students a quiz. And the first question read like this: "My name begins with M, has six letters, and I pick up things. What am I?" And half the kids in the class wrote down "mom" or "mother." You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson said that men are what their mothers make them. And an old Spanish proverb says, "An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy." Yeah. You go through the Bible and you're going to find that there are all kinds of portraits of mothers that we see. I love the mother of Moses. We talked about her just a few Wednesday nights ago as we've been going through the book of Hebrews, and how that she was willing to sacrifice everything in order that she might save her own son. She put herself in harm's way by keeping him and not allowing him to be killed by the Egyptians. You see the sacrificial love of a mother as two mothers appear before King Solomon. One had said, "Well, this is my child," when it really wasn't. The other one was willing to give up that child in order to save its life.
because she loved that child so much. You go to the New Testament, and there you see James and John. And their mother went to Jesus, and she wanted them to sit on the Lord's side, either side of the Lord, in the heavenly kingdom. We've had a lot to say about that across the years. That kind of was a very selfish thing, but I think a whole lot of mothers are very selfish when it comes to the love for their children. Amen? Good preaching, William. You go to Proverbs 31. Susie years ago had a book entitled Help, I'm Intimidated by the Proverbs 31 Mother, or by the Proverbs 31 Woman. And, you know, you begin to read Proverbs 31, and I have preached one Mother's Day sermon from Proverbs 31, and when I announced it, I could see the ladies in the church kind of tense up, because you begin to read through that there in Proverbs 31, and wow, that's an example. I'm very aware this morning that Mother's Day is a difficult time. Maybe you wanted to be a mother, and for some reason you could not. Perhaps some of you here this morning had a mom that was not the best in the world. Some of you, many of you, have a mother that has passed. Some of you have lost children in death. Some of you feel the pain this morning of a wayward child. And you as a mother have been praying for that child. Possibly some of you this morning, either in this room or watching us on Facebook, are flying solo as a parent. You're doing your best at home as a mom to try to be mom and dad in that situation. So for some, this day is a difficult day. But this morning, I really want us to look at the impact. The impact that a mom can have on her children, even without the help of a father. Because the passage of Scripture that I'm going to read to you this morning, you don't see a grandfather or a father mentioned in this passage of Scripture. But you do see what a grandmother and what a mother did in the life of a young man. And that young man was Timothy. Look with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Paul says here to Timothy, it's my favorite book. Excuse me just a second. I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did. With a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And listen to this. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. Wow. What a beautiful statement. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, you're going to find this woman by the name of Eunice. Evidently, she was raised in a religious home, and she was greatly impacted by her mother, Lois. We don't know all the situations. We don't know all the circumstances. Evidently, she had become attracted to a young man who was not into religion at all, probably against all the best wishes of her godly mother, maybe, and the teachings of her faith, maybe even in the tug of her conscience. She married this man. We don't really know. But after a period of time, Eunice and her husband had a baby boy who they named Timothy. Her mother, Lois, evidently lived with the family. And as you read what Paul has to say here to Timothy, you know that these two women, they began to instill the same teaching into this young boy, Timothy, that Lois had instilled into Eunice. And by the time that Paul comes into their town of Lystra, and he begins to speak about this man named Jesus, evidently both Lois and Eunice saw in Jesus the fulfillment of all the prophecies that they had learned. And they accepted Christ as their Savior, And from all indications, the teaching that they had been giving, or the teaching that Lois had given to Eunice, they began to instill into this young boy named Timothy. Based on what we can read, probably Timothy was a teenager at the point that, Paul met him, and he began to partner there in Lystra, and we know that he came to a saving faith. Later on, Paul and Timothy partner together in ministry, and as the gospel continues to spread throughout the whole world, and many years later, while Paul is in prison, he writes two letters to this young man, Timothy, who was taking care of a church. These letters really give Timothy the instruction that he needs as far as what he needs to do in the church. As a kid preacher, now you know that my dad was a pastor. I had watched, you know, all that went on in the church. I knew a whole lot about what went on, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know? But I sat in my office in Russellville, Alabama, which was also the church kitchen in Russellville, Alabama. And I can't tell you how many times that I read through 1 and 2 Timothy. That's why it tears me up when I talk about it. Because I really wanted to find out. I read it, and as you're going through 1 and 2 Timothy, you're going to find that Paul talks to Timothy, and some of it is very nostalgic, but some of it expresses the heart of a man who is going through a very, very tough time. If you go over to the end of 2 Timothy, there you find Paul saying to Timothy, "Timothy, when you come to see me," and this breaks my heart, "bring my coat." Basically, what he was saying there is, "Timothy, I'm cold. This prison is not warm. Bring my coat." You see, so often we look at Paul and we see this harsh person, especially if you're reading 2 Corinthians. And buddy, he comes down on that church. But in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, you see the heart of the man. You see him in just a little bit different way. And when he begins to talk to Timothy here in 2 Timothy, I mean, he does the greeting, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." And then he says, he immediately jumps into this thing, "I thank God for you, Timothy. I recall your tears." That's good for an old man like me who cries every time he gets in the pulpit, you know. "I recall your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy." And he begins to tell Timothy of the things that he's reminded. And he knows that the things that he sees in Timothy didn't just happen by accident. They happened because of the impact that a mom and a grandmother had on this young man. I was very fortunate growing up. Most of you know this. If you don't, you'll know it after this. I was very fortunate as a young man. My grandmother came to live with us. My mom's mom came to live with us when I was about 6 months old, and she lived with us until I was 18 years old. And she had never had any boys. I don't appreciate the way some of you are laughing. And I was, you know, all of my cousins who were boys were much older than I am. And so I was a wonderful child. I could do no wrong. Yeah, forgive him, Lord. Maybe what you should have said was, "Help him, Lord," you know. So I do relate a little bit to Timothy. Because those two ladies in my life poured into me, and I'm so thankful for what I have received from my grandmother and from my mother. And you can make an impact on your child's life, and I'm going to give you three ways this morning that, ladies, you can make an impact on any person really in your life. I first of all think that a mother has an impact on a child's life in the fact that she's able to instill in them a respect for the Scripture. She's able to instill in them a respect for the Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, Paul reminds Timothy that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus is going to be persecuted. And then you go to verse 14 there of chapter 3, and Paul urges Timothy to hang on even during tough times. He says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of." Listen to this. "Because you know those from whom you have learned it." You know those from whom you have learned it. Timothy not only had learned things in the head, he not only had learned cognitively, so to speak, of what it was, but he had gained ownership of the things that he had taught. He had studied it. He had watched it being lived out. He didn't just fill his head with truth, but he internalized it. He began to see how it worked in other people's lives, especially his mother, especially his grandmother. And he began to realize that not only would it work in their lives, but it would also work in his life. You go on in that chapter, verse 15. And Timothy says, and Paul says this, "How from an infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." In the manner of all devout Israelites, Lois and Eunice had put all of this into Timothy's heart and into his mind. They had provided some very high-powered lessons, so to speak, for young Timothy to grasp hold of. They read to him. They probably talked to him about Moses. They probably talked to them about all of those judges that Israel had, about how Joshua was there. Maybe how about Gideon was scared. But even though Gideon was scared, God said, "You're a mighty warrior." You read about what Paul says to Timothy. And Paul tells Timothy that God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity. Isn't that amazing? Here's this young man who's had all this, but yet you find that he was maybe still a little bit scared, but he had a respect for the Scripture. In essence, they began to live out before Timothy, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart." Listen to this. "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." These two mothers had God's word implanted in their own hearts, and therefore they plant them into the heart of this young man, Timothy. Talked about them. Lived them out. Moms, it is never too early to start teaching the Bible to those little ones. Never too early. And I'm not a mom, okay, but I live with one. You know, it's never too early to start reading the Bible to them. It's never too early to start telling them. I hesitate to call them stories because it makes them sound fiction. But please understand, it's never too early to start telling your children those Bible stories, those Bible truths. God wants to use you to instill into those children a respect for Him and a respect for His Word. And I'm glad that you don't have to do all this by yourself. I'm so thankful for a church that is more than willing to help supplement what's going on at home. And you heard how I said that, didn't you? We're here to supplement what you're doing at home. If all they're getting is on Sunday morning and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, please understand, I've said this about you. If all you get Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you're malnourished as a Christian. There has to be something going on at home. Not just in your life, but also in their lives. And here I'm talking to the grandparents as well. Hey, we were down in Huntsville not too long ago, and both of the girls were sitting around Susie, and she was reading them a Bible story. Actually, what she was doing was holding her phone, and they were watching the Bible story. Moved a long way from that big red book that Mom and Dad had for us, you know. And the reality of it is, even though even though they may not have had all the best tools in the world, they began to live out before Him, and He saw in them something that made the difference. And I want to tell you something, and this is not just to the mothers, okay? The best Bible that you can teach your children is in the life that you live. And they are reading us. I'm going to say that again because I think it's so important. They are reading us. They are reading us like a book. They know us. They see us at our best and at our worst. And it's so important for us to impact them with the Word of God so that in those hard times, in those times when they don't really know what to do or what choice that they can or will make, that somewhere in the back of their minds, something will roll around in there and God will use it to bring back a remembrance of something that they were taught maybe as a very, very little child that will help keep them from doing something that they should not do. We have to teach them a respect for the Scripture. We have to instill in them an authentic faith, secondly. We can impact their lives by instilling it within them an authentic faith. Go back to Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul says there, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Even though Lois and Eunice were believers, Timothy needed to come to a point and place in time where he not only looked at their authentic faith, but he looked and began to develop his own authentic faith as he accepted Christ as their Savior. Faith is not hereditary. It's learned. It's a genuine faith that can be passed along. An environment can be set up whereby children can begin to understand and be motivated to accept Christ as their Savior because they realize what they see and how it works. The word sincere here, as Paul talks to Timothy here, your sincere faith, it literally means your unhypocritical faith. There was no facade. There was no pretense in his grandmother and in his mother. Faith had taken up residence in their hearts. And because of that, it was now alive in his heart as he accepted Christ. There are a lot of things that we have to be serious about in our world. Especially in the world in which we live. I think of my daughter as she's raising our two granddaughters and Megan and Matt, and I pray for them because they are facing things as parents that Susie and I never faced as parents. And I pray for those two kids. I'm so thankful that that Matt and Megan are faithful to their church, and our grandkids are excited about going to church. It's an instilling of them an authentic faith. Timothy knew that his grandmother and his mother were sincere in what they believed. And as I said a little while ago, you've got to notice that there are two people that are left out of this equation altogether. And that is absolutely amazing to me. All these years I've read this and I've always wondered, what about Timothy's dad? What about his granddad? Where were they in all of this? It's not that they weren't significant, but Paul nowhere mentions them. That's one of the reasons I do believe, based on this passage, whether they were there, whether they were not there, this is one of the reasons that I believe even a single mom can have a great impact on her children. She can be, and she may have to be both father and mother at some point in time. But you can still have a great impact on those kids. But if we're going to have an impact on our kids, and this is moms and dads, okay? If we're going to have an impact on our kids about their faith, then we're going to have to be sincere and take our own faith very seriously. I said it a while ago, I'm going to come back to it. You can't just go through the motions in front of them and expect them to pick it up, because they will see that you are going through the motions. If church is just a box that you check on Sunday mornings, that's all they're going to do. And more than likely, they won't check it when they get away from you. We demonstrate our faith by consistency in our lives. They know it is authentic when they see the consistency in our own lives, of our own Bible reading, of our own praying. I read about a pastor not too long ago that was having a long conversation with someone who was becoming a member of his church. And the guy was going through all the statement of beliefs and everything that the church stood for. And when he asked the young man, he says, "Well, what has convinced you to join the church?" He thought he had done such a good job explaining. And the young man says, "Well, I just want you to understand, it was nothing that I heard you say. Listen." He said, "It was nothing that I heard you say. It was how I saw my mama live. I got up early one morning. We were living in Piedmont, Alabama. And I got up early, and mom and dad had already gone to work. Dad had gone to the church. Mom had already gone to work. And grandma was sitting up in the den of the parsonage there in Piedmont. I had to walk up the hall through the dining room and into the kitchen. And when I walked up the hallway and through the dining room, I began to hear singing. And as I walked into the kitchen, Grandma was sitting in the den in her recliner there with her Bible in her lap. She didn't know I was anywhere around. In fact, I never told her any of this. She never knew it. She was singing the old song, O Come Angel Band, with her Bible there. She used to race my dad to see who could read through the Bible first in a year, and she always won. We called Mom the other night as we were going home from church, and we'd gotten away a little late, and we got Mom an iPhone while she was here with us a few months ago. Mom has had an iPad for quite some time. I laughed the other day, and she's probably watching. She'll talk ugly to me when this is over with. Mom, I'm just going to tell them how old you are, okay? She said it was fine, so I'm going to do it. She just had her 86th birthday. I was texting her the other day. My mom, 86-year-old mom, texts me. I mean, this has been fun to watch all this develop. And so I sent her a text, and she sent me back a thumbs up. <You know? laughs> I absolutely got so tickled when I saw that. I just had to put the phone down. You know, it was just hilarious to me. There's my 86-year-old mom texting me and sending me a thumbs up. She actually used it like it was supposed to be used. I mean, you know, that was what was in. Susie and I had her on, called her and got her on speakerphone. And when she said hello, there was someone talking in the background. And it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that what she was doing, she was listening to her Bible being read there on the phone. Or on her iPad. I don't know which one it was. And she couldn't get it off. And she was trying her best to get it off while she was talking to us on the phone. That's authentic faith. I'm not just trying to use those two women in my life as an example. I'm just saying, even, you know, that's not something that she had to be doing. But that's what she was doing. She was listening to the Word. It's interesting when you go over to Acts chapter 1 verse 14 and And there you find Mary, the mother of Jesus, as she is there with all the disciples, joining together to get constantly in prayer. Isn't that amazing? It was such a fertile environment there that Timothy was raised in and his faith developed in. It became authentic because he had seen it in one person. He had seen it in the next generation. And he now was the third generation that a very authentic faith had developed. Oh my goodness, folks. We have not just moms, but dads, we have an impact on our kids that is unbelievable. A respect for the Scriptures, an authentic faith. And finally, a mother has an impact on a child's life as she instills a desire to minister. A desire to minister. After Paul had preached there in Lystra and Timothy was converted, he returned a short time later. And you go over to Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. And there it says, he came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. And Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. Isn't that something? Paul goes back to Lystra. He's been away for a while. He comes back, and here is this young man. Here is this young man that the brothers in the church are speaking well of. And Paul says, I want him to go with me. I've had the opportunity to minister with three young men and a lady and an older man. I pointed at Jack. And a young man, I pointed at Jack. I'm so thankful for people and their desire to minister. But let me say this, folks. Just because we've got a call on our lives does not mean we're the only ones who are supposed to be ministering. Can I tell you something? And this is going to come as a great surprise to you. There are no church elves that come and set up things. Somebody has to do it. And can I tell you what I've seen across the years? If mom and dad were active in ministry in the church, then the kids, when it came time to do something, they were right there with them, active, doing things in the church. I mean, you look at Timothy. He was evidently a strong believer. I mean, he's referred to as a disciple there in Acts chapter 16. I mean, Luke could have referred to him, you know, as just a believer, as a Christian, but he chose to call him a disciple. And a disciple is a learner. He's a follower. He's one who's serious about this relationship with Jesus. And when Luke begins to talk about Paul coming back to Lystra, he calls Timothy a disciple, a minister. He had a good reputation. I mean, it says there in Acts chapter 16 that all the people spoke well of him. But he was also available. And Paul wants to take him along on the journey. And as you read through the rest of the book of Acts, you're going to find that Timothy was eager to minister. He wanted to be a part of what was going on. And he is enlisted as a special assistant to Paul to replace John Mark. And you read through the New Testament's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul calls him his beloved son. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, he calls him his son in the faith. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul can't think of anyone like Timothy when he writes, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. All those statements were made about Timothy. Where did all that start? It didn't start in Sunday school because they didn't have Sunday school. It didn't start in children's church because they didn't have children's church. Where did it start? It started with Lois and Eunice. It started with those two women It started as they began to teach him what God did for Israel and how God rescued Israel and how Israel was unfaithful, but God took them back. It started as they began to talk to him about Jesus. And I believe the desire for ministry begins in what they see us do in church. The greatest thing that could happen for our church is not for us to be a church of 5,000 people. The greatest thing that could happen in our church is for some of these little ones that are underfoot for God to place a call on their lives, and they could be called to do something in the kingdom of God that we couldn't even begin to believe. You see, folks, now, if you don't get anything else out of this message this morning, I want you to get this. This is worth writing down, okay? So if you write in your Bibles, you need to write this down, okay? Here we go. It's important. We are saved to serve. We're saved to serve. Brian Bill, who was pastor of Pontiac Bible Church, wrote about a banquet that was held at his church for high school graduates. A fellow by the name of Jeff Williams was speaking at the banquet, and he said that the main point of Jeff's sermon was this. He said, "Seniors, you have been served by your parents, by your teachers, and by your pastors." And he passed out towels to all those seniors, and he said, "It is now for you to take up the towel and begin to serve others." What was he referring to? He was referring to the night that Jesus got up and took off his outer garment and wrapped a towel around him and went around to all of the disciples and served them. We're not called to be a part of this church just to be served. We are called to be a part of this church to serve. And in serving, we impact the lives of children and teenagers who watch and see what's going on in the lives, not just of their mom and their dad, but they watch what's happening in the lives of the people of this congregation. And because they see people serving in this congregation, they too want to be a part of what God is doing. You see, I firmly believe this morning that the reason that both of our girls are involved in their local church is because of this lady over here. Sometimes pastors take off in the middle of the night. Sometimes they're not there at dinner and other times. And I've talked about my grandmother, I've talked about my mom, but I'm so thankful for this mom over here who worked diligently and has done these three things in our two daughters. Let me bring it all together. Moms, you can make a significant impact on your family with or without a dad. Dads, I'm going to tell you something. If that lady in your household is doing her best to instill the truth of the gospel in those kids, you better be there, right along beside her. This is Mother's Day, but Father's Day's coming. Some of you got what I meant by that. We can instill in them a respect for Scripture. We can instill in them an authentic faith. We can instill in them a desire for ministry. Those of you who have been around Crossville First know what's about to happen. Every year for many, 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 many years as I've been a pastor, I do it on both Mother's Day and Father's Day. I have all the moms come and stand here in front of the altar. And today, ladies, I want to tell you what and Jane reminded me of this, and Jane wasn't feeling well after the breakfast, not because she ate something bad. I did ask her that. But she said, "Pastor, every year when you have them come stand, they're looking at our backsides when you ask, isn't this beautiful?" So I'm going to have you face the congregation at first. How about that? Moms, if you would, please come and stand here and face the congregation. for just a moment, then I'm going to have you turn and look at me. But moms, please come so that I can pray for you. This is one of the highlights of my year, is being able to pray for you. They have too much fun together. They had like 15 yesterday at the mother's banquet, wasn't it, Linda? I saw the picture. They had a great time. I hope Jane is watching on Facebook this morning. Gentlemen, isn't this a beautiful sight? Amen. Let's. Now, ladies, if y'all will turn and look at me. I want to tell you, ladies, something. I applaud you as mothers. I applaud you in the fact that I see your kids running around here, and we have some second and third generations of families in this church. And I applaud you. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children arise and call her blessed. And your children do that. Proverbs 31, verse 30 says, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so therefore, this morning, we praise you for the way that you love the Lord and the work that you do in this church. And I just want to applaud you and say thank you for all that you do. And for the love that you display to your children, to your grandchildren, some of you, your great-grandchildren. How many great-grandchildren you have? She has five. Marcy, how many? She has five great-greats. Okay. Marcy has, what's that? 21 great-grandchildren. Wow. Can he, I just lost it at that, you know. No. Let me pray for you, ladies. Thank you for being here today, and we've got a special gift that we want to give to you this morning from the church. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these ladies, for these mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, great-great-grandmothers, who stand before me and who stand before this congregation today. Many of them have spent hours serving their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, their great-great-grandchildren. They've also spent hours serving you in the church. And I'm so thankful, Lord, for them. I'm thankful for the testimony that I see in their life. I'm thankful, Lord, for what you do through them. Lord, this church probably would not be here were it not for some of these ladies who are standing here, who have faithfully given, who have faithfully worked. And Lord, there are some new ladies who are standing here this year that weren't standing here last year. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful, Lord, for their faithfulness to the church and their witness that they are displaying to those that are around us. Lord, I rejoice in the fact that you have given us mothers who show us a very tender heart. And I'm thankful, Lord, for the ways that you have used the women who are in my life to show a very authentic faith. So, Lord, today we ask that you would bless them and that you would help them. May they, in a world that has gone crazy at times, it seems like, be a source and a point of sanity, but also to be a point and a source of the reality of what Jesus does in a heart and in a life. We love you and we thank you for them. And we ask that you would bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray these things in his name. And all God's people said. Ladies, we have given you all kinds of things, and I hope I can pick these up. and Jim Dubrow did this. I don't know how much he did, but he was the one that picked them up anyway. But I'm just going to set it right here. How about that? And don't fight over one color because they're all mixed up. But y'all grab you one, and you got a flower on Mother's Day for sure. If our kids are here, if you have kids here that their mom is not here today, have them come and get one, take one home to her. That would be such a blessing. They are beautiful flowers. Thank you for being here today. We don't have services this evening, so that you can enjoy the day with your family. And I hope that today is a blessed day for you. You have honored us by being here on Mother's Day. And I hope that God blesses you in all that you do in raising your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, and your great-great-grandkids. What a blessing. I'm so glad that you're here. May God bless you. You are dismissed. Amen. Thank you.